The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I see man, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see man, I shot.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on this walk as one Thursday, a very, very special day here at ESPN 1000 as Cap and Bernie's Book Bank CEO Darren Utnick and others will be walking 20 miles from Guaranteed Rate up to Wrigley and back down to Guaranteed Rate today. And all the shows will be there to celebrate Cap crossing the finish line at Guaranteed Rate, because we're going to have all the shows. Bleck and Abdallah will be in for Greeny, Carmen and Yurko, as well as Waddle and Sylvie. They'll all be at Cork and Carry at the Park, 3259 South Princeton Avenue. And by the way, you can give berniesbookbank.org. Go to the website as we have our conversation here this morning. And also text ESPN for books, ESPN the number 4 books, to 44321. Anything helps. $1, $20, $50, because it helps kids be able to get reading materials. We take for granted that everyone's got Wi-Fi, everyone's got reading materials. I've seen it firsthand. It is something. And again, we did this in the south suburbs, in Dixmoor. We did this on the north side as well. Kids are appreciative of someone being able to give them books to read to further their education. Time for Shot or No Shot, and is brought to you by
our good friends at PointsBet and Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
All right. So Cap's not here. He's like a pimple on prom night. He just keeps popping up. Hopefully he won't pop up here in Shot or No Shot as he gets ready for his walk. All right. What do we have here, Charlie, for Shot or No Shot?
No good morning hoodie. All right, let's just go right into it.
Or you could ask me how my morning's going.
How's your morning hoodie?
See, there's a guy that's needy. He needs me to ask him how his morning's going.
Attention starved back there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the one here.
What can I say? I do stand up. Of course, I love attention.
Of course. So that's why you don't get a good morning.
Okay.
Yeah, you get raspberries. or even worse for you, silence.
Oh no.
How about that?
Crickets.
How about that, Mr. Stand Up?
Crickets just bomb right away. Yeah. All right. Let's get into this. The Los Angeles Rams went 4-12 in 2016 to yearly contenders every year since then. The year before going to last year's Super Bowl, the Bengals were 4-11. Hell, it was only 2018, Josh Allen's rookie year, that the Bills were 6-10. Since then, they're 36-15 and the current favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, turnarounds happen fast in the NFL, and teams can go from very bad to very good in short order. Shot or no shot, the Bears can be a legitimate playoff contender as soon as next year.
Even with the extra wild card, Shay, I will say no shot, legitimate. Now, you notice the word he used there, legitimate, meaning that you're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC. Could you get in the playoffs with 9 wins? Yeah, you can. I don't know if the Bears, even with the amount of money that they have with the salary cap next season, can they be a complete overhaul where you got offensive weapons for Justin Fields? Will Fields be able to accelerate his career and be a top-level playoff quarterback next season? So I will say, when he says legit, I say no shot. Could they be in the playoffs? Possibly. What do you think, Shay?
I actually think it's a shot. I think with the amount of money that you have available on the salary cap, you have to be a contender next year, or I would actually be disappointed. I mean, you think about whether or not Justin Fields becomes an elite quarterback. Think about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went from 3-13 to 13-3 and in the AFC Championship game. They had a 10-point lead in Foxborough.
Yep.
Tom Brady was the only one that could take them out. All they had to do, they had Miles Jack on their defense. They have Jalen Ramsey emergent as an all-pro. Those things can happen very quickly, and all of a sudden, you're at the top of your conference.
It's a difference between legit and getting in the playoffs, though. Legit,
agree.
To me, that sounds like Buffalo.
Agree.
Right?
And yeah, no, I agree. But Jacksonville was legitimate. They went from last in their division, last in the NFL, with Blake freaking Bortles, and they became a legitimate playoff team in the AFC Championship game. Things happen really, really fast in this league. I would be disappointed. There's no excuse to not have a winning record and not contend for the playoffs next season.
Well,
none.
Well, I agree with that, but here's what I look at, and I'm not trying to fast forward through this season because I'm very curious about how the offense works with Justin Fields, because that's the most important thing to me is that Fields development. But
agree.
I am interested, though, in this offseason of exactly how they allocate their money, who they spend it on. You have a whole bunch of money that you can spend on free agency, but who do you spend it on? You going to go back to defense again? Will you find a wide receiver? Will you find offensive linemen that are free agents? That's the thing that I'm interested in. I'll go through this season like every other Bears fan, but I'm interested in seeing how they allocate the money, because if you're not spending toward trying to get better for next season, you know, with weapons for Fields, it's going to be tough. Charlie.
There have been countless ways to put into perspective how little Justin Fields has done as the passing engine of the Bears offense, but perhaps most shocking is that Cooper Kupp has more targets than Fields has pass attempts, 28-29.
Yeah.
Now, the 49ers and Packers are a lot better than the Bears' upcoming opponent, the Houston Texans. So shot or no shot, if Fields struggles against the Texans as much as he has the last 2 weeks, it is officially time to hit the panic button on the Bears quarterback.
That's a no shot, and that's based on the roster composition. That's the reason why it's a no shot. Look, I'm braced, Shay. I'm braced for what this season's going to be. What did I say before the season started? I said that the Bears would be 7-10. Some even laughed at that, said that's too many wins. I think it's 7-10, so I'll take the over 6.5 wins. And that's just, and I look at the coin flip games on the schedule and thought, look at the schedule. There's some games there where it can go either way. I thought coming into the season, Giants could be a coin flip. Maybe not so much right now. Thought the Jets would be. Atlanta would be. Splitting with Detroit. I thought that there was some coin flip games in there. But if they have a losing season, I'm braced for it. So, no, it's not a panic button situation for me. Absolutely not. It's still an evaluation. It is on First Take, but not here. What do you think?
See, Ken? For me, I think it's the panic button. Because when I look at just around the league, the Bears have 28 pass attempts all season. The next closest team to you is the San Francisco 49ers with 52. That's a 24-point or 24-attempt difference between the fewest and the next fewest. By the way, 28 pass attempts through 2 weeks, it's the first time that's happened since 1980. You're the only team since 1980 to have this few pass attempts through 2 weeks. Either you have the worst offense in 42 years,
yep,
or you don't trust your quarterback. So if I see them go out there against Houston and they're not using him, they don't want him to throw, yeah, I'm going to start hitting the panic button, because that means they're not seeing things in practice where they believe he can be put in a position to succeed and throw the football.
I expect these growing pains, though. This can't be a surprise. Why is it a surprise to people, though, Shay? Shouldn't be. Like, did you see him last year? Okay, we're going to push Nagy out, and you're going to fire him and fire Pace. I got no problem. All right, fine. It was time for them to go. But did you think that you were going to see Josh Allen as soon as you changed the regime? No, absolutely not. I will not do TV talk show stuff of saying that after three games, if the offense can't move against Houston, then he's broken or he can't move the football. You have to evaluate. There has to be some modicum of patience with young quarterbacks.
Agreed.
In this league.
I'm not trying to, I don't even need him to look like Josh Allen. I'm not asking for 60 pass attempts. I'm not asking for 50. I want to see him go out, get 20, 25, 30 pass attempts, get 15 or 20 completions. Hoodie, four of his first 12 starts, he hasn't completed 10 passes.
I know, because they run the football so heavy. And as I've been trying to tell my partner, and I don't know, sometimes I wonder, is Cap actually watching the NFL in this generation? The idea that he thinks that you have to play defense and run the football to win championships, it's more than that. It's a vertical passing league. That's where we are in 2022. There's nothing wrong with running the football, but you can't run it exclusively. This ain't the 80s.
Agree. And that's why you see, like, the other team that we're looking at this weekend has Davis Mills at quarterback. He's throwing the ball. Who's his best receiver? Brandon Cooks?
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot different of a situation, but they're allowing him to throw. So I just feel like if we see this game this weekend and Fields isn't given the opportunity to attempt 20, 25 passes, he doesn't complete 10 or 15 balls, they're just not seeing enough from him in camp where they believe he can succeed with his arm. And this far along, I know it's not like super far, I'd start getting really worried.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go through the season and just watch the growing pains of what he will be. And I don't think it's going to be sharp early. It clearly is not. But we have to have patience with this because what's next? Trevor Siemian over his shoulder? No, I just think that we are too quick to be able to hit the panic button on young players in this league trying to learn an offense. I mean, everything I saw from him at Ohio State makes me think he has the leadership skills to get this done. But can he execute?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying bench him. I'm just saying if things don't start trending right,
oh, yeah,
you're going to start hearing a lot about Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, some of these guys in this draft. Hopefully not Anthony Richardson. That guy stinks.
How about Breer on Tuesday? Let me give you a recall of that. Remember the last question we asked him what's in his phone? How about Albert Breer on Tuesday? You can go back to the archives of the ESPN Chicago app and go to Cap and Jay Hood. Fast forward right to the last question. We said, what's in your phone? He said that some talent evaluators in the NFL are not necessarily knocked out with the draft class, with the quarterbacks. Now, my thought when he said that was, well, it's early, right? Let those guys go through a season, and then you will be enamored with those guys. But I thought it was interesting. He said, yeah, that's this draft class of quarterbacks. Yeah, a lot of talent evaluators don't like what they see. Okay. All right. Let them get through their bowl games, and then we can take a look. I just thought that was interesting for him to say that in September. But that's the reaction he's getting on his phone from Albert Breer. All right, Charlie, what else do we have?
All right, Thursday Night Football is back tonight on Amazon for the third time.
Oh, my.
And so far, it's been fairly smooth sailing for the commerce giant. They have Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit as the voices of their broadcast and come from the biggest financial well probably known to man. So shot or no shot, this is only the beginning for Amazon, and they will one day be the primary viewing space for NFL fans.
That is a shot. That is going to happen. We will see, Shay, Amazon at some point have the Super Bowl. That's where we are right now. There is a generation, like my generation, Cap's generation, where you didn't think you'd ever have to pay for TV. You just plug it in and turn it on, right? Put on your regular channels. We're paying for it now. And the same thing with Amazon. Because of how strong they are destined to be able to have a Super Bowl or playoff games. They're in the mix, just like the other networks that we watch. I want to say that last time when we saw Thursday Night Football last week, it was a breeze. Thursday Night Football, you say it into your remote, boom, it popped right up on my Amazon. A couple of buffering issues, a little bit, but not enough for me to complain about it. It's never going to be as clear as Fox or CBS or NBC, but I thought a few buffering issues where it went to regular color and then back to HD or 4K, whatever it was, but I loved it. I think that it felt like an NBC broadcast, quite frankly.
I thought that the broadcast was excellent. Hoodie, I didn't have the internet issues. My broadcast was 4K nonstop, and it was gorgeous.
Glorious.
But I'm going to say no shot, because I know that we live in a generation and in a world where you see all the ancient relics dying. You see old buildings being torn down, cables going away. People are cutting the cord, all this stuff. You know what's not going away? The NFL on Fox, the NFL on CBS, and Sunday Night Football on NBC. That is keeping those networks alive single-handedly, and they will throw their lives on top of keeping it. So that's the one thing where, look, if you're going to expect these old networks, these monoliths of network television,
wait a minute,
to have to find an island to die on, it's the NFL on Sundays. They will not let Amazon put them out to pasture. I can't believe it.
Hold on a second. Amazon, you know how much money they're making. They're making money as we speak right now. There's an Amazon box in my home. I can see it on my porch right now. They got plenty of money. They're in the business to be able not just have these, what is it, Charlie, like 15 games? They're going to run all of it. I think just 15 games or 16 games.
Yeah, that sounds right, because they didn't have the first one. 14. That was on NBC.
It's not a full season, but it's like most of the season,
I think,
right?
It's 14 because they don't have Thanksgiving either.
So, I mean, they're in it to win it, man. What, when you carry the National Football League, Shay, what's the thing that you want the most? Super Bowl. You think Bezos has enough money to be able to get a Super Bowl at some point? In our lifetime, we're going to see a Super Bowl on ESPN and on Amazon.
It's been a while. Disney, if Disney can't get enough to get involved and get the Super Bowl off the networks, I'm not sure Amazon's doing that anytime soon. That's where Fox, NBC, CBS, they might not like each other all the time, but when it comes to keeping the Super Bowl rotation, those three are going to hold hands.
What do you think, Charlie? At some point, as in our lifetime, we will see Amazon with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's just a resource thing. Like, no matter what, Amazon is always going to be able to pay more. Like, I just think it comes down to resources, and Amazon has like more money than God at this point.
Charlie, you have time for one more. Let's squeeze it one more.
Yeah, how about it? Well, Let's get into a little White Sox. It's a season of disappointment for the White Sox, and they're all but certain to miss the playoffs. Underperformance, mismanagement, you name it, the Sox did it. However, we did see them turn it on for a stretch once Miguel Cairo took over, even though they ran into a wall to close out the season. Mm-hmm. But the broader sample size shows a team hitting for power and playing inspired baseball. So shot or no shot, a full season of Cairo is enough to elevate this team to the playoffs next year.
That is a no shot, and it's an interesting question, Shay, because, you know, you got to change parts of this roster in order for that to happen. Cairo could be there as a leader, but what about the roster? If it's the same roster, if they bring back the same guys, you only make a few tweaks, that ain't good enough. You get to the playoffs 2 years in a row, you're not in the playoffs. It's more than just the manager. It's the general manager. It's the way they do business. It's not about even about the salary cap. It's not even about how much money they spend. It's about who is on the field. You got to make the hard decisions. And so Cairo, whoever's in there, it's about the lineup and the roster for me.
Yeah, no shot. You could dig up Tommy Lasorda, put him in that dugout. It's not going to make a difference. Like, no, you got to change the roster. The problem is you got seven first basemen on this team. You're running seven DHs out there. You don't have a balanced lineup, period. And we're watching that. Listen, there have been two televised funerals this week, Cody. The White Sox are the second. The Queen was the first. The White Sox are the second.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what we've watched this week. They're dead. I mean, last night, 8-2. Life on the line. You have a very slim chance. We buried them yesterday for 3 hours. You can catch it on the Cap and Jay Hood podcast if you want. But yesterday, you go out and get bodied 8-2. It's over.
They're done.
They're just not good enough. Yeah, it is what it is. The front office has to be with the changes.
All right, coming up next, Lonzo Ball. Will he be ready when the season starts for the Bulls? You know the NBA season is right around the corner, right? I know, it's crazy. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10. And Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. That ESPN Chicago app, that's where you can find Chauncey's Great Outdoors. If you're into fishing and or hunting, check out Chauncey's Great Outdoors every Saturday morning. If you don't miss the show on Saturday mornings, we have it on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, it's a deal breaker Thursday for us. We'll tell you the yes or no when it comes to deal breakers in life. That's coming up at 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Also in the news, we'll talk about Coach Udoka from the Boston Celtics. What are you doing, man? We'll explain that also this hour here on Cap and Jay Hood. Do you know that the first preseason game for the Bulls is October 4th? Today is September 22nd. We've been so immersed in Bears talk and Cubs and the White Sox and some of the national news on this program every morning. And all of a sudden, oh, by the way, the Hawks are starting and media day for the Bulls is Monday. All of a sudden, maybe it's just me, but boy, that happened quickly. And I enjoy basketball. I love the league. But October 4th, the first preseason game, it'll be the Bulls taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. And the reason why I bring this up this morning is because we come to find out something about Lonzo Ball that is disturbing. Lonzo Ball will not be available when the season starts for the Chicago Bulls. And it's funny because I want to say maybe 24 hours ago, I was asking Cap, I said, hey, you know LeVar Ball and his bluster and his BS. I said, you've got his number. Call over there to California to find out what is going on with Lonzo Ball. And then we come to find out from Casey Johnson and others, Bulls announced Lonzo Ball will undergo an arthroscopic surgery of his left knee or a scope of his left knee on Wednesday, September 28th in Los Angeles. He will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I want to make sure this is underlined. He will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Doesn't mean he's going to be ready in 4 to 6 weeks. We got to make sure that we are looking at this very closely. Reevaluated after the scope that he's going to have on that knee. Now, here's my question. So what has he been doing all summer? I understand that he's been working out, but it comes now that he needs to have something going on with him. So that seems very fishy to me. Like, he hasn't been around, especially toward the end of last season. And so he's been working on it, and then you come to find out, here we are in September where the season is going to start next month, and now he needs a scope. This feels a little like Scottie Pippen.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
If I need to whiteboard that, I will. Scottie Pippen decided to have a surgery or something that's going on with him. I believe it was his leg at the time during the last run for the Bulls championship, that last season. Instead of having the surgery done in the summer, he did it toward, you know, close to the start of the season, and he was not available early. It's like, hey, well, why didn't you have the surgery after the season? Why are you waiting until now the fall?
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
Why is he important? He's important to the Bulls because I really appreciate what he brought defensively for this Bulls team. Lonzo Ball, right there at the perimeter, was fantastic. And I remember him coming to the Bulls when he was with the Pelicans. I was saying that I was happy that he's with the team because he had developed his three-point shot. He's gotten so much better from three-point range. And at the perimeter, he utilizes arms and legs, long and athletic, and very good at the perimeter, along with Alex Caruso. They're very good at the perimeter as far as their defense. Now, without him, you do have Alex Caruso. You have Goran Dragic that's on this team. But there's still Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Nikola Vucevic. And what I look at with this team is that when Lonzo Ball comes back, I know that they're even going to be better. Hopefully, he'll be back to full strength, and he could be able to help this team. Yes, I would like to have him playing in October when the season starts, but if he's around in January, February, whatever it takes, I hope that Ball can be able to be a part of this team. Overall, my overarching point about the Bulls and their season is that I'm glad that Zach LaVine decided to re-sign with the Bulls. He really didn't do the free agent tour like I thought he might, just to see what's out there. He's back with the Bulls. And there's conjecture out there regarding Zach LaVine that says, well, Zach LaVine can fill it up, but can he be a winning player? Can he be a plus player for the Chicago Bulls? Well, here's the thing. I'm never going to rule out what Zach LaVine can do for this Bulls team based on the offense that he provides. 24 points a game, close to 5 rebounds, close to 5 assists. I love the numbers that he puts up. Last time we saw him against Milwaukee, I mean, 24 points and 20 points, and he had double-digit games. He could be streaky at times. But here's my bigger concern. Along with Lonzo Ball, my bigger concern is, what do the Bulls get from DeMar DeRozan? Now, he had a fantastic season. At times, you can look at him and say, boy, there's an MVP right there. 28 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. We know the special games that DeMar DeRozan had, to the point where when LaVine was out with COVID or was not available, DeRozan was taking over. And I think that when we're watching the games for the Bulls, sometimes the Bulls were standing around just watching DeRozan just hit those twos. He was never a guy that's going to be able to be, you know, to flourish from three-point range. But I really like that he brought some leadership to the team, some toughness to the team, taking those big shots. And he helped the Bulls a lot this past season. Well, my question is, what do we get from DeMar DeRozan this upcoming season? He's the oldest player on the team. And I think that if there is a little regression, that wouldn't surprise me based on his age. But I hope that this is a renaissance for him. Because if Zach LaVine is streaky, here's DeMar DeRozan that can step into the forefront and be able to help this team. Patrick Williams also I'm looking at as well. A healthy Patrick Williams. Now, as far as Patrick Williams is concerned, people still look at that game against Minnesota when the Bulls, I think, had their reserves and Minnesota had their reserves and Williams had a 20-point game or 25-point game, as I can recall, against Minnesota. And so we saw a scoring touch from Patrick Williams. Like, okay, that's pretty good. We know that's in him. So if he can provide double digits and that toughness as far as rebounds, offensive rebounds, I think that'd be great. Because in this iteration of Billy Donovan's team, this upcoming season and last year, I told Cap, I said, you know, this team is good, but they're a little small. They don't have a lot of toughness or size inside in the painted area. Vucevic is a guy that's got to get better. I think I'll agree with Sylvie in this regard, that he was getting on Vucevic and making him the whipping boy of this team because he thought he underachieved. And I would agree with him at times that Vucevic's three-point shot needed to be better. Doesn't mean that he's a dog. Doesn't mean that he can't play. I like a guy that can be able to step out and knock down the three, can crash the boards. He walks into the gym with 20 and 10. So I like that. So there needs to be improvement with this team for sure, as far as their offensive prowess is concerned. But it's about health. I want to see Lonzo Ball be back for this team because that's going to be the best, I think, for the Chicago Bulls. But Patrick Williams, the young guy, I think he's going to be, what, 20, 21? Man, if he can give you the defense you're looking for and offensively speaking, that'll be really good for this Bulls team. Coming up, we will do Deal Breakers. We do it every Thursday at 8:30. Man, there's a lot of crazy things, as you well know, that's happening in this world. Is it a deal breaker or not? You'll find out next on Cap and J-Hood.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
I'm Doug Llewellyn, and this is the case of Granny. Oh, different show. Yes, it is time for Deal Breakers here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app on Cap and Jay Hood. Cap is off on his walk for BerniesBookBank.org. He's stretching out right now. I see him outside stretching and getting limber as he will do something special. Once again, it is Walk is One Thursday. Cap and Bernie's Book Bank CEO Darren Utnick are walking 20 miles from guaranteed rate up to Wrigley and back down to guaranteed rate. Go to BerniesBookBank.org for more information and give to kids that need reading materials. And also, all of our shows are going to be at Cork and Carey. Black and Abdallah is going to be in for Greeny. Carmen and Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Into exciting White Sox baseball as they take on the Guardians. A 6:30 pregame and a 7:10 first pitch right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Here's Shay Norling with Deal Breaker. Shay?
All right, Hoodie. I just had a great idea for one. Sprung to me right in this moment, actually. I want to ask you this.
Yes?
Your coworker has a walk planned for his day, and in the morning during your meeting, he checks the temperature. He realizes it's going to be a little colder than he thought it was going to be, so he changes out of his shorts and into his sweatpants. The issue, he does this right in the conference room, drops right into his boxers. How do you react to this?
I react to it as, oh my God, why did he drop his sack on the conference table? That's my first reaction. Why does he undress in front of us? I mean, obviously he's comfortable enough for that to happen, but if it would happen to me, I would say, why? Why do I know what underwear you're wearing?
Now, it did happen to you, didn't it?
It did.
It happened to both of us.
It happened to both of us, yes. Drop trowel to get his pants on because it's a little chilly for his walk this morning, and we saw the undergarments.
Wait, when did this happen? Was this like right after I left?
Yes. He didn't want to do that in front of you.
I was walking out of the meeting room, and I turn around, and there's Cap hanging sack while he puts his sweatpants on. Just in the middle of the conference room.
Did you want to see that, Charlie? I mean,
not particularly. I'm glad I had to set up the setup down here.
Well, I think he didn't do it in front of you because you're litigious. But nonetheless, I think that what happens is that you got Cap and he's not thinking about anything. He thinks he's at, you know, at the locker room, right? Just drops trowel, puts his pants on, and gets ready for the show. He's comfortable like that. That is a deal breaker.
I got the hell out of there. You know what? I got to get down the elevator, buddy.
If you really want to know, I'll tell you what kind of underwear that Cap is wearing. I'll be glad to share that with you. Think Catholic-stained window. At a church. Is that a good description?
That's vivid.
It was the, what, Charlie, you might know, is it Zubaz? What's that brand?
Oh,
I think
Zubaz.
That's what it was. Yeah, Zubaz.
Yeah.
It looked like Zubaz boxers. Real tight.
Shout out to Dan McNeil. Who
unbelievable.
Just texted me. Yeah, so shout out to him. He's the king of Zubaz back then. But yeah, that's what it was. That kind of pattern. All right, what else do we have for deal breakers?
All right, you're dating a girl who you really like. She's 35 years old. She tells you, though, that she came from a very strict family. So she didn't start dating until she was 26. 26 was the same age she had her first kiss. She also confides in you that at the age of 35, she's never had sex. Is this a deal breaker?
35 and a virgin. Let me see how I could say this.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, it's not a deal breaker, but I think that if you're around someone of the opposite sex, Charlie, you kind of know.
Yeah, you just, you know.
Don't you? I mean, based on the conversation, can you tell if someone hasn't had sex?
Yeah, you can. You can tell, like, maybe not right away, but maybe like second or third date, you're just like, wait a minute. But all right, that's a weird way.
You can be around a guy and just be like, hey, man, look at that. She's hot. And he's like, yeah, you know, I love when she's wearing jogging pants at the gas station. Or what was it like? You were with a girl last night? Yeah, it was like, a, you know, bags of sand. Was that 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
So it's like, okay, you really haven't had sex. And I'm not shaming anyone for that. I want to make sure that's clear. But tell me this, Shay. Can you tell if the opposite sex has not had relations?
Yes.
You can kind of tell, right?
Yeah. And I want to pull the curtain back on this one. I saw it in TMZ this morning. This girl went on a reality show on Lifetime called Five Guys a Week. A girl moves into a house with five guys, and you get the opportunity to date each of them, and you eliminate them as the days go on.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up choosing this one guy to be the guy who lives with her. And they get in bed. They're getting, you know, they're making out. They're doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he says, I got to stop because I'm getting aroused. Doesn't say he's getting aroused. He explains what's happening downstairs. And she says, what do you mean? Just from kissing? And that right there is where, you know, oh, you've never done this before.
Oh, you can kind of tell. You can kind of tell. And I have examples of that, and I can't talk about it here, but there's examples of, wait, I haven't even started yet. What, you okay? Oh, it's your first time.
The plus side is you could be terrible. She won't know the difference.
How was your first experience? It was magical. Not on my end. I felt like I was a D. Plus, pardon the expression. So is it a deal breaker? If you want to get into deep in the weeds, Charlie.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's a deal breaker, but it is like, okay, why is that, you know?
Yeah, why is that? And then on top of that, there could be serious attachment issues.
Yes, like that in of itself, maybe not a deal breaker, but like maybe what it means is possibly the deal breakers.
You could be her first, and all of a sudden it's like, I love you in the same moment.
First and last, right?
And it's like, wait a minute now, hold on. We just started here. Nope. Because we did the deed, I love you. And maybe for some, that's too fast. Just saying. Shay.
All right, this one we may need to carry over into the next segment. You're the general manager of an NBA team coming off a resurgence season and a finals appearance. When you find out that your head coach started a consensual relationship with another team employee, how do you react to this?
Okay, well, I will address that coming up next because it's a longer form conversation than the few minutes that we have here. So we will address that question coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. The same ESPN Chicago app where you can listen to Peggy and Dion catch their show Saturday mornings. So much fun, those two. And their slogan, Peggy and Dion, we'll figure it out. So check them out and check out their show on the ESPN Chicago app. All right, we're in the middle of deal breakers here. And still to come, we'll talk about the Bears and what we expect from the Bears against the Texans at 9 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. But let's finish up deal breakers. Let me add that question again. What were you saying, Shay?
So I'm going to just take the bit out of it here and break it down as the actual news story that happened. The question was, you're the general manager of an NBA team coming off a resurgent season and finals appearance. That's the Boston Celtics. Their general manager is Brad Stevens. And it comes out that the head coach of this team, Ime Udoka, started a consensual relationship, intimate and, according to Shams Charania, improper, with another team employee. Now, the Celtics are mulling a suspension that could be as long as a full season for Ime Udoka for doing this. So he violated team rules. I imagine, whether it's in his contract or just an HR policy at the team, if you're going to start a workplace relationship, it must be reported and approved. Sounds like that wasn't the step that was taken here.
Okay. So let's just make sure that we have the story clear of Ime Udoka facing disciplinary action expected to include significant suspension and violation of organizational guidelines. Okay, so when I first saw this story this morning, early this morning, Shay, my thought is, okay, he has a relationship and he's cheating on Nia Long, which, by the way, for the culture, let me just tell you something. My text thread of my cousins, Terrence and Wiley, they are incensed. Wiley, my cousin, loves Nia Long, believes that she is the one, right? Going back to the movie Love Jones, she's been in Guiding Light, if you're not familiar with her. She was a voice, one of the voices as Roberta Tubbs on the Cleveland show. She has had so many great roles and been in so many terrific movies. I'm a big fan of hers as well. But they have, I believe they have kids together. They have a relationship. And so Udoka cheats on Nia Long, which blows my mind. Okay. But it's someone in the workplace, Shay, as a Celtics fan, besides the team, the head coach is spending time with someone who works in the organization. And that's a no-no for the Celtics. If he had, if he was cheating with someone outside the organization, all the Celtics would say, all Brad Stevens would say is, all right, clean up your mess. Don't bring it in here. Don't bring her in here. Right? That's what would happen. Don't bring this other woman or this other partner in here. But because it's someone in the organization, they've got to do something about it now. It makes me think, again, reckless speculation in this regard. It makes me think that maybe they told Udoka once, maybe twice, hey, let's squash this whole thing. You might have problems with Nia Long at home, but we can't have this. And it still goes on today. Maybe that's where I think Stevens might have drawn the line. Like, okay, we told you once, and you're still trying to go out with her without declaring that you're dating her. That's a problem.
This does, and I'm a Celtics fan, so I've been talking with some people who I know who are sort of close to the team and trying to get as much as I can get out of this. It does kind of feel like one of those things that was handled internally, or they were attempting to handle it internally, and for whatever reason, it kept growing and getting bigger, and now they can't handle it internally because it got out. Woj got it. You were trying to go for a suspension, maybe a shorter term. Now everybody knows what it is. Now you kind of have to make a decision.
Everybody has issues, right? Everybody has issues at home. If they have issues, that's fine. But Udoka doing that with someone within the organization without declaring, I'll pull the curtain back. Before Good Karma took over this company, we were under the rule of Disney. With Disney, if you were going to date someone within the company, you had to declare it to your boss, your program director, or the general manager. Hey, just so you know, we're dating, because you want that out there. And I think that's the same way here at Good Karma, that if you're going to date someone within the company, you got to be able to declare it to Keith, Craig, Danny Zetterman, all that, right? I don't think that Udoka was doing that. We have identified who this person is within the organization. I will not say the name. I won't do that.
Has there been a confirmed report that's... I know a lot of people are putting the rumor out there, but I haven't seen a confirmed report on who it was.
Well, it's someone that's... first of all, it is a female. That's confirmed. Secondly, it's someone close in the organization. You've seen who it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can figure that out on your own. All I know is that that's messy. That's sloppy.
Well, and pretty much anywhere you work, if you do the whole, hey, we're going to tell HR that we're starting this relationship, they're also going to go, if this is a conflict, we're separating you two entirely as far as work goes. Like, you can't do this and be involved in the work day to day.
So shot or no shot, he'll be fired for this.
No shot. Everybody has said his job's in no danger. He took him to the finals. He's as far as we can tell, he's a great basketball coach. I think they want to hit him with, like, this is the real warning shot. Like, look, you can't be doing this. We're taking you out of the building for a year. Go dry out. Figure out your stuff at home. Then you can come back.
What do you mean dry out? I think that's the problem. He's not dry. Go ahead, Charlie.
I'm just laughing.
Right? I mean,
yeah, I mean,
who are you dating in the company?
What's that?
Who are you dating in the company? Have you declared?
No.
Okay.
Just me. Just me, myself, and I.
I'm asking because I think So what if he was a bad coach, though, Shay? You see, you put out there first that, like, yeah, he's a winning coach, and he is a good young coach. He served as an assistant under Popovich for a long time with the Spurs, and so he deserves his opportunity. What if he was a bad coach?
Look, Stan Van Gundy's doing this. Goodbye. There's the door, pal. Nice knowing you. If Steve Kerr's doing this?
Back on the bench?
Yeah. Hey, Steve, get us $5,000 you find. All right? Get back on that bench. Draymond needs you, brother.
If you don't declare, that's a problem, right? And that's what clearly he did not. And now it's out there. And then when he comes back, that's embarrassing too, guys. It's embarrassing. When he goes on the road, there'll be pictures of Nia Long, which I'm all for. There'll be big posters of Nia Long, who is just unbelievable, by the way. And I know that on the surface, people are just blowing their mind like, her? She's 51 and she's still hot. And people remember her in Love Jones. And like, it's crazy. It's crazy, but it's happened. So, yes, that's a deal breaker. Yes, to answer your question. All right, in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the Chicago Bears. What about Justin Fields? What do we need to see from Justin and the offense against Houston? We'll break that down with numbers in 2 minutes on Cap and Jay.